Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Yud. I'm Rabbi Avraham Goldar, and today we're Sechus Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud, the eighth parak, Yesh Nochlin. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rava said, Hanosi Isha Tzarech Sheyivtok Ba'acheo. One who marries a woman should first examine the character of her brothers. The Pasuk says that Aaron married Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadab, Achus Nachshon, the sister of Nachshon, as a wife. Now, since she was identified as Aminadab's daughter, Eini Yodea She'Achus Nachshon Hi, do I not know that she's Nachshon's sister? Its mention must be to teach that one who seeks to marry a woman should first check her brother's character. A brisa gives the reason, Rob banim dom l'achayayim. Most sons resemble the mother's brothers. Since his future sons will be similar to his wife's brothers, he should investigate their character before marrying her. Point number two, the pasuk relates that the men of Dan challenged Yehonasan's becoming a priest for Pesel Micha using the words halom, bezeh, and po. This hints that they said to him, Rav Moshe Ka'asis, do you not descend from Moshe, who was spoken to with expressions including these three words, Ta'aseh kohen l'avodah zorah, you became a priest for idolatry? He responded that he had a tradition from his grandfather Moshe. Lo'olam yaskir adam atzmo l'avodah zorah, a person should hire himself to idolatry, v'yitzdarech l'brios, and do not require the financial assistance of people. He mistakenly thought this literally meant to serve avodah zorah, but it actually meant avodah shezorah lo, work which is strange to him, meaning undignified. Similarly, Rav told Rav Kahana, Natosh Neveltu Bashuk Veshkol Agra, skin a carcass in the market and take pay, and do not say, I'm a great man and it's demeaning for me. The Gemara relates that when David saw that money was dear to Yehonasan, he appointed him over the royal treasure houses, because the pasuk says that Shmuel, son of Gershom, was appointed over the treasure houses. This name indicates Sheshav Lekel B'chol Lev, that he returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all his heart. And point number three, the Mishnah in Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph states that sons inherit the father, implying that when there are sons, daughters do not inherit. This is derived from the pasuk which says that if a man dies and has no son, his daughter inherits, teaching Taima de Ein Lo Ben. The reason she inherits is because he has no son. Hayesh Lo Ben, Ben Kodem. But if he has a son, the son precedes the daughter. Rav Papa asks that perhaps the pasuk means that when there's no son, she inherits alone. But if there is, she inherits together with him. Abai responded that since we know from elsewhere that a daughter can inherit, it's obvious that she inherits alone when there's no son. Rather, the pasuk teaches that a son precedes a daughter. Two more sources are suggested but rejected. Finally, another source is found. And you shall keep them as an inheritance for your sons after you teaching. Your sons inherit them, but not your daughters when there are sons. Although the pasuk Laman Yibu Yemechem Yemei Benechem, so that your days and your sons' days are prolonged, certainly does not exclude daughters, Bracha Shani, a blessing is different and obviously includes daughters. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Rava said, Hanosi Isha Atzarech Sheyivtok Ba'acheo. One who marries a woman should first examine the character of her brothers. The pasuk says that Aaron married Elisheva, the daughter of Aminadab, Achus Nachshon, the sister of Nachshon, as a wife. Now, since she was identified as Aminadab's daughter, Eini Yodea She'Achus Nachshon Hi, do I not know that she's Nachshon's sister? Its mention must be to teach that one who seeks to marry a woman should first check her brother's character. A brisa gives the reason, Rob banim dom l'achayayim. Most sons resemble the mother's brothers. Since his future sons will be similar to his wife's brothers, he should investigate their character before marrying her. Point number two, the pasuk relates that the men of Dan challenged Yehonasan's becoming a priest for Pesel Micha using the words halom, bezeh, and po. This hints that they said to him, Rav Moshe Ka'asis, do you not descend from Moshe, who was spoken to with expressions including these three words, Ta'aseh kohen l'avodah zorah, you became a priest for idolatry? He responded that he had a tradition from his grandfather Moshe. Lo'olam yaskir adam atzmo l'avodah zorah, a person should hire himself to idolatry, v'yitzdarech l'brios, and do not require the financial assistance of people. He mistakenly thought this literally meant to serve avodah zorah, but it actually meant avodah shezorah lo, work which is strange to him, meaning undignified. Similarly, Rav told Rav Kahana, Natosh Neveltu Bashuk Veshkol Agra, skin a carcass in the market and take pay, and do not say, I'm a great man and it's demeaning for me. The Gemara relates that when David saw that money was dear to Yehonasan, he appointed him over the royal treasure houses, because the pasuk says that Shmuel, son of Gershom, was appointed over the treasure houses. This name indicates Sheshav Lekel B'chol Lev, that he returned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all his heart. And point number three, the Mishnah in Daf Kuf Ches Amud Aleph states that sons inherit the father, implying that when there are sons, daughters do not inherit. This is derived from the pasuk which says that if a man dies and has no son, his daughter inherits, teaching Taima de Ein Lo Ben. The reason she inherits is because he has no son. Hayesh Lo Ben, Ben Kodem. But if he has a son, the son precedes the daughter. Rapapa asks that perhaps the pasuk means that when there's no son, she inherits alone. But if there is, she inherits together with him. Abai responded that since we know from elsewhere that a daughter can inherit, it's obvious that she inherits alone when there's no son. Rather, the pasuk teaches that a son precedes a daughter. Two more sources are suggested but rejected. Finally, another source is found. V'yisnachaltam osam livnechem achrehem, and you shall keep them as an inheritance for your sons after you teaching beinechem v'lo benosechem. Your sons inherit them, but not your daughters when there are sons. Although the pasuk l'man yirbu yemechem yemei benechem, so that your days and your sons' days are prolonged, certainly does not exclude daughters. Bracha shani, a blessing is different and obviously includes daughters. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Yud, and it relates to a key, but to make the siman more distinct, we use a gold key ceremony as the siman, a gold key ceremony. So here goes. The gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah. While the recipient's children looked on, knowing one day the key will be inherited by the son and not the daughter. Once again, it's a motion. The gold key to the city, gold key, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud, gold key ceremony. The gold key to the city was presented to the brother, the bride, because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch, which reminds us, Rava said, Hanosi isha atzarech sheyivdok ba'acheo. One who marries a woman should first examine the character of her brothers. A brisa gives a reason. Robanim domim la'acheyaim. Most sons resemble the mother's brothers. Since his future sons will be similar to his wife's brothers, he should investigate their character before marrying her. So the gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah, which reminds us, the pasuk relates that the men of Dan challenged Yehonasan's becoming the priest for Pesel Micha. Do you not descend from Moshe? He responded that he had a tradition from his grandfather Moshe. Lo'om yaskir adam atzmo l'Avodah Zorah. A person should hire himself out to idolatry while he's tzarich l'brios and not require the financial assistance of people. He mistakenly thought this literally meant to service Avodah Zorah, but it actually meant Avodah Shazarah lo, work which is strange to him, meaning undignified. So the gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah. While the recipient's children looked on, knowing one day the key will be inherited by the son, not the daughter, which reminds us, another source is brought that where there are sons, a daughter does not inherit. The pasuk says, V'hisnachaltim osam livnechem achareim, and you shall keep them as an inheritance for your sons after your teaching, benechem v'lo benesechem. Your sons inherit them, but not your daughters when there are sons. So once again, the gold key to the city was presented to the brother of the bride because his great reputation was so helpful in making the shidduch by the town treasurer who just quit his job at the local Avodah Zorah. While the recipient's children looked on, knowing one day the key will be inherited by the son, not the daughter. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Kuvav. So the siman Daf Kuvav relates to a line, and we use a tightrope walker walking on a fine line. So here goes. The tightrope walker, that must be on Daf Kuvav. Tightrope walker on a thin line, kuv. The tightrope walker on a rope marking the border of a field, so besanov et b'mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, if someone sold a base core and identified it besamanov et b'mitzarov by its landmarks and boundaries, but it was discovered that the field did not contain a base core, pachushtos higio, then if the discrepancy was less than six, it becomes the buyer's as is without compensation. Ajtos yanake, but if the discrepancy is greater, down to a six, he must deduct from the purchase price according to the discrepancy. So the tightrope walk on a rope marking the border of a field sold besanov mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core, looked down below at some brothers who just divided an inheritance by lots, which reminds us, in a bright Rabbi Yossi said, Achin shechalku, brothers who divided an inheritance and agreed to use lots to determine who receives which portion. Once a lot is drawn for one of them, identifying his portion, kanukulam, they all acquired their share of the inheritance. The one whose lot was drawn acquires his portion, and the others acquired the remaining estate between them. Rabbi Elazar explains, Ketchilas Eretz Yisrael, it's like the initial division of Eretz Yisrael. Just as that division was affected through lots, heirs can also divide an inheritance through lots. So the tightrope walker on a rope marking the border of a field sold besanov et mitzarov, which was a little less than a base core, looked down below at some brothers who just divided an inheritance by lots, and saw trouble in the distance as a long-lost brother approached from overseas, coming to get his portion, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses two brothers who divided an inheritance, Ubal hen ach min medina sayam, and another brother came from overseas and claimed a share. Rav says, Batul Machokas, the first division is void, and the estate must be redivided. Shmuel says, Mekamsin, they each take off a third of their share and give it to the third brother, but the original division remains in effect. Daf Kuf Zayin, so the Siman Daf Kuf Zayin is Kuskus. So here goes. When the late Captain Kuskus's creditors, Kuskus, that must be on Daf Kuf Zayin, Kuskus. When the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossess the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, which reminds the Gemara brings a Malchokas, if brothers who divide an estate are like heirs, Yorshin, or Lukuchos, purchasers, a Nafkamina being that if the father's creditor comes to take one of their properties, if they're like Yorshin, the other properties are redivided. If they're like buyers, then the brother whose land was taken is not compensated. So, when the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossess the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, but the judges could not agree on the value of the Kuskus cart, which reminds us, a Bryce states that if three judges appraised the orphan's land, and one said it was worth a mana, 100 zuz, and two said it was worth 200, or if one said it was worth 200 and two said 100, bata yachid b'miuto, the single judge is nullified in its minority status, and we follow the majority appraisal. If one appraised it at a mana, which is 100 zuz, and one said 20 slime, which is 80 zuz, and one said 30, which is 120 zuz, there are three opinions. So when the late Captain Kuskus's creditors repossessed the factory from one son's share, requiring a brand new division of the remaining estate, but the judges could not agree on the value of the Kuskus cart, the son lost interest in the Kuskus industry and bought half a field to take up farming. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if one says, Chotzi Sada Ani Mochulach, I'm selling you half of my field, Mishamni Benehem, the quality is between them, Benotel Chotzi Sadeu, and the buyer takes half his field. If he says, I'm selling you its southern half, the ruling is the same, but here the buyer takes the field's southern half. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Lokeach notel kachushubo, the buyer takes the inferior half of the field, and the seller keeps the superior half. The field is divided by its value, the inferior land being of greater size, and the seller can retain the superior, smaller land. Daf kufches, so the simmer daf kufches is a pickpocket based on the word kach, take. So here goes. The mummy pickpocket. Pickpocket, that must be on daf kufches, kach, take. The mummy pickpocket, who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochel, anything, which reminds us, the eighth paragraph begins with four categories of relatives regarding inheritance. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are people who both inherit from and bequeath to certain relatives. Yesh nochlin umanchilin. There are those who inherit but do not bequeath, and there are those who bequeath but do not inherit, and there are those who neither inherit nor bequeath. The Mishnah gives examples of each category. For example, a woman bequeaths to her sons but does not inherit them. The same applies to a woman and her husband and a mother's brothers. So the mummy pickpocket began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochel anything. Took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, which reminds the Gemara addresses why the Mishnah began with a father inheriting his sons and not the reverse. So the mummy pickpocket who began stealing after being told she would only be manchil and not nochel anything, took money from her husband's pocket while he was mourning his dear son he had inherited from, saying that his son was closer to him than his brother, whatever it be, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why we assume one's children are closer relatives than a man's brother? It answers because he stands in his father's place for Yud, to marry his father's Amma Ivriya, and for redeeming ancestral land that the father was Makdish before Yovel, so will not transfer to Kohanim at Yovel. Although a brother stands in his deceased brother's place for Yibum, the Gemara responds, is there any Yibum except where there's no son? When there's a son, there is no Yibum. Daf Kuftes, so the Siman Daf Kuftes is a Hatzalah kit. So here goes. The Hatzalah member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit. Hatzalah member, kit, that must be run Daf Kuftes, Hatzalah kit. The Hatzalah member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi brings a different source for how we know that a father comes after the deceased person's children in inheritance. The Pasuk says that if a man dies with no son, Bavartim es nacho asol uvito, and you shall pass his inheritance to his daughter. This teaches, B'malkam bas atamavir nacho mina av, where a daughter is left by the deceased, you shall pass the inheritance away from the father, meaning she inherits before the father, but you shall not pass the inheritance away from the father, where only brothers are left by him. Rather, the father inherits before them. So the Hatzal member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles, while her mother cried bitterly that Mishpacha's name is not called Mishpacha, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, according to the Tana who derives a father's inheritance from She'ero, how does he know it does not refer to the deceased person's mother, since the Torah uses the word She'er about both? Rava answers that the Pasuk describes the relative as Mimishpachto, from his family, which cannot refer to the mother, because Mishpacha is Avkruya Mishpacha, paternal family is called family, but Mishpacha Zayim ain't a Kruya Mishpacha, maternal family is not called family, because the Pasuk says, L'mishpachosam l'veisavosam, according to their families, according to their father's household. So the Hatzal member gave the daughter of a man who died suddenly a Yerusha card from his kit, informing her that she comes first, then her grandfather, and then her uncles, while her mother cried bitterly that Mishpacha's aim is not called Mishpacha, under a painting of a family tree of Aaron Bas Aminadav and Pinchas titled Lom Yidbak Adam Betovim, which reminds us, Rabbi Elazar said, Lom Yidbak Adam Betovim, a person should always cling to good people, meaning he should marry into a family of righteous people. Try Moshe Shanasa Bas Yisro, because we have Moshe, who married the daughter of Yisro, a one-time priest for Avodah Zarah, Yatsmi Men Yehonasan, and Yehonasan, the priest for Pesel Micha, descended from him. On the other hand, we have Aaron, who married the daughter of the righteous Aminadav, and the righteous Pinchas descended from him. All right, so now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you learn? A buyer is not forced to purchase the excess land at its initial higher price. That's on Daf Kufdal. Good. Number two, which stuff do you learn? That a base course sold by its landmarks and boundaries allows for discrepancies up to a sixth. That's on Daf Kuvav. Good. Number three, which stuff do we learn? That one who marries a woman should first examine the character of her brothers. That's on Daf Kufya. Good. Number four, which stuff do we learn? That Mishpacha's aim ain't a Kruya Mishpacha. That's on Daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number five, which stuff do we learn? Why the Mishnah began with a father inheriting his sons and not the reverse. That's on Daf Kuf Ches. Good. Number six, which stuff do we learn? That an alternative source that a daughter inherits before the grandfather is from Havartam. That's on Daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number seven, which stuff do we learn? The source that a son inherits before a daughter and not jointly. That's on Daf Kuf Yud. Good. Number eight, which stuff do we learn? That Rabbi Elazar said, Lom Yidbak Adam Betovim, a person should always cling to good people by marrying into a family of righteous people. That's on Daf Kuf Tes. Good. Number nine, which stuff is the case of one who sells half his field? That's on Daf Kuf Zayin. Good. And number 10, which stuff do we have Yehonasan's defense for becoming a priest for Pesel Micha, and we learn about his eventual tshuva? That's on Daf Kuf Yud. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.